Welcome to BGRLearning.com, and this will be my introduction to my series entitled The False Paradigm of the Adult Social Class, and I am your host, Larry Solomon. This series is the podcast companion to an article on BiblicalGenerals.com entitled John Locke's Invention of the Adult Social Class. So, I just want to say right at the outset of this series, I know that some of my listeners may not agree with me on all of my political views, which I believe I'm pulling from biblical principles. They may say, well, I think you're interpreting this biblical principle wrong or whatnot, but I like listening, Larry, to your advice about marriage and raising children and, you know, sex or things like that. But, you know, when you get into political things, I just kind of fast forward and go to the next one. Okay, let me just say, don't shut me off here. This is not just a political series. This is actually both, because the concept of the adult social class, it is a moral biblical issue. Okay, this false paradigm of the adult social class, it will drastically affect your marriage, and it will affect your parenting. It will affect your life. It will affect how you make decisions as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a daughter. Okay? So yes, it is both. It transcends. And as I've said before in other parts of this podcast, that as Christians, we cannot, it is a mistake, we cannot divorce politics from religion. Because politics are based in morality. They are based in what is moral, what is right, what should the rights of the people be? Where do our rights come from? They come from God. How do we know what God says our rights are? In the Bible. That's how we know. So you cannot divorce the two. And in this subject, this is, you know, yes, are there certain areas where, okay, fiscal policy, should we spend this much on the military versus this much on social programs? Yes, there's room there, okay? But there's certain areas like abortion and other areas, marriage, that are moral institutions, things that God has spoken to. So it's not just a political issue. It's not just a political position. Like, if a person is against abortion, that's not just a Christian like me. My position against abortion is not simply a political position. It is a moral position based upon the standard of morality, which is the Bible. So, again, I really encourage, if you're one of those listeners who's tempted to skip anything that sounds remotely political, yes, there's going to be some political parts in here, but it's you're going to see it weave back and forth with the scriptures, that you need to understand that this false paradigm of the adult social class, you need to rid this paradigm from your mind, and I'm going to show you a biblical paradigm, a biblical view of social classes, a biblical view of how you should see the world, how you should see people in the world, okay? So with that said, let's jump right into this. So John Locke was a 17th century English philosopher who could rightly be called the father of individualism, and really by extension the modern age, okay? And you really can't overstate John Locke's influence on modern Western civilization. He's basically the father of modern Western civilization. He completely changed the way people viewed themselves within society, within Western civilization. Okay? In fact, if you go to the Declaration of Independence, there is wording in the Declaration of Independence that comes right out of John Locke's two treaties of government that he published in 1690, a little less than a century later, in 1776, the American Constitution, the founding fathers, put his words into our Declaration of Independence. So you've heard this, parts of this phrase from the Declaration of Independence, and some people may have not heard the second part of it, but it's very important. It starts with, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then it goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, if you go back up to the top of this, the phrase where it says that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, that is almost word for word from John Locke's Two Treaties of Government, which he published almost a century earlier than when the Declaration of Independence was written. The last part of it, where it says the pursuit of happiness, I believe that came from Thomas Jefferson. And it was, he said life, liberty, and the protection of property, I believe it was, or something like that. But that whole entire concept there, and the concept of individualism came from John Locke. So if we look at John Locke's philosophy here, his philosophy of individualism was actually born out of a reaction to another writing, another philosopher's writing. It's interesting in history, oftentimes some of the most popular philosophies or even theological systems are born out of a reaction to other systems, okay? For instance, with John Calvin, his famous Calvinism philosophy, okay? That was a response to what other people had written, and that formed the basis for Calvinism, okay? And the same thing here is with John Locke. He was writing a response to a man named Sir Robert Fillmore, okay? And Sir Robert Fillmore had published a paper in 1680, and this paper was called Patriarcha, or the Natural Power of Kings, okay? And the central thesis of his book was the divine right of kings, that basically the divine right of kings comes like the natural authority of parents, that it was derived from the natural authority of parents, that basically Adam was the first father and also the first king, okay? So he was the king of mankind and the first father, okay? So he's trying to defend the purpose of kings, the absolute monarchy style, right? That a king is above the law, the king makes the law, the king... whatever the king does is right. It's just absolute, you know, a monarch, right? So John Locke wrote his treaties, two treaties on government, in response to Fillmore's, this patriarchy, the natural right of kings, or his theory of the divine right of kings being, you know, derived from Adam as the first father. So with that being said, that's my introduction to what we're going to be talking about here. And again, I just want to be very clear with you folks that this is not some theoretical, philosophical, oh, I don't like history, I don't care about... No, please bear with me in this series. You're going to see how this applies to your everyday life, to your marriage, to how you are parent your children, and children... even teenagers, how you, the proper biblical response for you to your parents as well. It's a very, very important thing. Okay. And I'll give you a hint. Okay. To keep you in this series, I'm going to give you a hint of where we're going to go once we build our case here. Whenever you hear a woman, a wife, okay, say, I am not a child. Don't treat me like a child. Okay? An adult woman, a wife, even a daughter. right? A teenage daughter or even a young adult daughter. Whenever you hear them say, and we've all heard this, I am not a child. Don't treat me like a child. I'm an adult. Okay? That's where we're going. We're going to show you in this series, I'm going to show you here, why that is unbiblical, and that's based on an unbiblical paradigm that John Locke introduced centuries ago. Okay? So, and this is what has formed the foundation for the modern age, and yes, it is interwoven with our Constitution, and it is a flaw. Now, again, I've said it many times. I love our country. I love the United States of America. I would fight to defend it. But that doesn't mean that our founding was all correct, that all the philosophies, all the things within the Constitution, all the things within the Bill of Rights, all the amendments that we added to the Constitution later on, it doesn't mean it was all right. Okay? And as a conservative, I mean, we should be able to admit this. A lot of conservatives want to take this position that the Constitution was perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. There was no flaws in it. There was nothing. And now liberals today will oh yeah, we were founded and it was horrible. You know, the founding fathers were all slave owners. It's just all, you know, oh yeah, it's just all trash. We need to tear the Constitution up. We need to get a new Constitution. We just need to tear up. We need a whole new Constitution, Bill of Rights. It was all flawed from the beginning, based in white supremacy, based in, you know, slavery, and we just need to get rid of it. Okay. So the liberals have no problem saying that the founding of this country is extremely flawed, okay? What I'm saying is that it was somewhat flawed, okay? There are some cracks and some wrong things that the founding fathers did. Some of them were good. Some of the things they did was good. Some of the things John Locke did. I'm not saying everything John Locke wrote was wrong. Some of the things he wrote against the divine right of kings and against the idea of kings being fathers. Okay, he was absolutely right in what he wrote in some things, but some things he was wrong in. So again, to get you to stick in this series, we're going to address whenever you hear a woman say, I'm not a child, you can't treat me like a child. Or you Christians believe in, treat women like children, okay? Whenever you hear those kind of statements, okay, we're going to show you why that thinking is a false paradigm. It's unbiblical, okay? Thanks for listening to this introduction. And in the next lesson in this series, we will talk about why Sir Robert Fillmore was wrong in saying kings are like fathers. So come back for part one in this series, and we'll talk about why Robert Fillmore was wrong in saying kings are like fathers. Thanks for listening.